serenity prayer. God,
God,
grant me the serenity,
accept
the things I cannot
change,
the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
Beautiful, thank you. Thanks, Ricky. I didn't get somebody to volunteer to read the preamble up there. And can I get Anne to read the preamble for us? Anne S. from Wachuca City? Yes, please.
Okay. The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and that the changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution, does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor imposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to the families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic.
Thank you very much. Thanks for being on the fly. And I ask Clem to read our workshop opening.
Excuse me. One of the simple practices I've used over the years to sustain my willingness to attend meetings is making a commitment to perform one job-related commitment to perform one job related to the group, whether serving coffee, putting out literature, acting as treasurer, or filling a position of secretary. Clearly, agreeing to speak at a meeting is also an excellent incentive for attendance. In this way, I remove all debates about whether I have the time, the energy, or the willingness to attend by simply recognizing that I have a job to do. While performing my chosen task, I'm assured that I am part of a gathering where, however imperceptible, hearts are being healed. Many members find that Al-Anon service provides welcome, healing benefits. Service offers many of us a new experience in group participation. No longer isolated, we share a common welfare with other Al-Anon members and also with people still seeking help. A common bond unites us despite our many differences. As we reach out carrying Al-Anon's message of hope, we look for confirmation that our actions in fact support our common welfare. For guidance and support, we turn to the traditions and strive to practice our program's concept of obedience to the unenforceable. The traditions offer guidance for our efforts, but we have individual responsibility for applying them. As we apply the traditions to our actions, we notice that these precepts for preserving unity can be applied to other experiences and other relationships. Our families, friends, business, and communities all provide fertile ground for practicing the principles of our traditions. And as we do so, we find ourselves growing by leaps and bounds. In reaching out to others through Al-Anon service, we have the opportunity to share our unique experience and our personal recovery for acceptance and serenity in a supportive environment and get to know ourselves better, both strengths and weaknesses in the process. We have the opportunity to contribute not only what we can do, but more important, who we can be. By sharing our recovery, we strengthen its workings in our own lives. By seeking to allow a higher power to work in and through us, we come to feel more fully the presence of that power. In giving, we receive. From When I Got Busy, I Got Better, pages 7, 8, 38, and 55, 56. Copyright Al-Anon Family Groups Headquarters Incorporated.
Thank you, Clem. And I have asked Mary to read the February reading.
Hi, I'm Mary. February reading, Lessons in Honesty. Over the years, I've had the privilege of sponsoring a number of people. Each one has contributed to my own recovery by providing insight into my behavior. I learned, for example, that I couldn't take away another's pain. I could listen, share my experience, strength, and hope, and then let go with a silent prayer. I didn't need to let others' problems consume my thoughts for hours. Because I didn't have the heart to end a conversation, I had often spent hours on the phone. Gradually, I set limits and learned to respect my own need for time. Making time for myself continues to be difficult, but whenever I do it, it becomes easier. I've come to not take things personally. Many of those I sponsored came and went. Some were serious about building a relationship. Others only seemed capable of lip service. Still others outgrew me as their sponsor and moved on. With each situation, I came to realize that change was part of a growth process for me, as well as for those I sponsored. I've occasionally refused a member's request to sponsor them. As a human being with my own needs, I have limits to the time and energy I can devote to helping others. I can also recall the one and only time I had to terminate a sponsorship. It was because of my own pain. When sponsoring a woman experiencing the trauma of sexual abuse, the painful awareness of having been sexually abused myself interfered with my ability to support her. Sponsorship has taught me so much. I felt a love of closeness for every person I've sponsored, and I've come to understand there is no perfect method of sponsoring. Being non-judgmental, flexible, and relaxed has helped me both to offer guidance and to be a better person myself. I ask myself, am I willing to grow through sponsorship? From when I got busy, I got better, page 16. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, so each of our three panelists will share for about 15 minutes, and the rest of the time will be used for your questions and possibly brief shares. Remember, any sharings are solely the opinion of the member and not that of the Arizona area or Al-Anon as a whole. So now I would like to introduce our first speaker, who is, I believe, Allison. Where's my participant list? I believe it's Allison. Yeah, Allison from Bozeman, Montana. Go ahead and unmute, and the floor is yours, honey.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for inviting me. I'm here for all the way from Bozeman because Helene is part of my home group up here, and she is really good at asking people to join in service. So never underestimate the personal ask. This was a new booklet for me. I really enjoyed it. It's just jam-packed with all sorts of insights. And I just reread this page today and went through your questions with my sponsor this afternoon. So it's just been a really insightful day for me. This page took on a whole new meaning for me today because I've been encountering a person, a colleague that I work with, and she's having a lot of difficulties. I'm pretty sure that she's one of us. She has, you know, let me know that she was married to someone who was an alcoholic, and I don't think she ever received any help or support for that. She's had a lot of grief and is right now going through a lot of illnesses. And through, you know, reading and doing this work, it's like I've come around to having a lot of compassion for her because that's kind of how I used to be. You know, I would call somebody up and just kind of like unload all my problems. But now I know that there's a more appropriate way to do that. And so that's why I'm just so grateful for all the support that I found in Al-Anon. I'm just trying to carry the message to her, like little by little, in an attraction and not promotion kind of way. Because I know that she's just really in a lot of pain right now. So it was so good to kind of run through these questions and, reflect back on all the things that you guys have taught me and all the things that I just continue to learn and that I'm able to share back with my groups and all of you guys through the fellowship. So the first question was, how has working with others helped me with boundaries, honesty, and self-care? And so I got some notes here. I need to follow a script. Well, I love that service in Al-Anon is very finite. I can set out literature, chair a meeting, or pass around the calendar. The expectations are very clear, and it's something I can do, just a small task that helps my group run smoothly. I've had to be honest about what I can and can't commit to because I'm a chronic overcommitter, and be okay with doing less or just a little and not doing it all perfectly. I've had to remind myself with sponsees that I'm not their therapist, mom, or best friend, and I'm grateful I'm not these things. Saying no for me is a form of self-care. I have to guard my time and my space. I need time in my day or evening to be with my husband and pets, to talk, and to just shut my brain off. I just made some notes about learning how to set a boundary with a professional colleague and how to work with her with kindness and compassion. So question two was, how has listening and sharing experience strength and hope helped me grow? Well, listening has helped me look for and hear the similarities and the relatability in others' shares. Reinforces that I'm not unique. I've learned how to have relationships with people in and out of program. When I hear about other solutions, I can apply them to my own life and then be able to share my own solutions and my own positive outcomes. Witnessing their others' hope has helped me see that I too can have hope. Al-Anon has given me a safe space to listen and share and an appropriate outlet for my grief and anxieties. I can offer that same support to others in the group. All right, question three, am I willing to grow through sponsorship? And I said, yes, my sponsor emphatically reinforced this for me. So that was nice. She's like, yes, you are. You are willing to grow. And fortunately, I have landed in a group here in Bozeman that believes strongly in sponsorship and working the steps. The sponsors I've worked with have all said that their main focus is to walk their sponsees through the steps in the way that it was given to them. So that is what I've done with the women I work with. And number four, how has offering guidance helped me to be a better person? Well, I work my own program regardless of what my alcoholic is doing. I shared with my sponsor today that, you know, a little miracle happened in my house just recently. My husband went back to AA about 4 months ago, and he just said to me the other day that, watching me continue to show up for my program and to continue to show up for my sponsees, do all the things that you guys have told me to do for the last, it's been 9 years now, that he was just kind of watching that the whole time, which kind of blew me away. And he said that, by seeing that in me, he had the courage to return to his own program. So that's just been a huge, huge gift and a miracle. So he's been sober for about 4 months now. And another thing is that part of my spiritual awakening in this program was coming to the realization that this program is for me, regardless of what's going on around me and who's doing what out there. At first, you know, maybe like many of you, I came in thinking that, you know, you all were going to teach me how to get the alcoholic sober. I don't know, maybe give me legal advice or, you know, tell me how to like save my marriage or that it was unsavable or something like that. You know, I really had no idea what Al-Anon was all about. It turns out it was none of those things I've come to find out. And what just kept getting repeated and what finally sank in for me was that this program, in this program, we focus on ourselves. And so that was really kind of the turning point when I, you know, after they say that you have to hear something 7 times in order for it to sink in. And that's certainly true for me, maybe like 8 times, but eventually it did. And when my program is for me, it, you know, I work it with just a focus and really a joy. And I feel so much better when I do. Like it is, it's just really strengthened all of my relationships in all areas of my life. Yeah, I believe in working my own program for me as well as for my sponsees. I figure I better walk the walk. I don't ask anyone to do something in this program that I wouldn't do myself. Offering guidance to others, it has made me more patient, has given me more humility, and has helped me to dig deeper into my own program. So that was really all I had for now, you guys. I look forward to your questions.
Let's give Allison a round of applause with the American Sign Language clap. That's a fantastic. We are very thankful you were here. Our next speaker is Jill. Go ahead and unmute and share.
Well, hi, everyone. My name is Jill, and I am also here at the request of Helene, who is just a service extraordinaire role model and amazing person. And I put my Bozeman, Montana background up for you all because I believe most of you are in sunny, warm Arizona. So that is my little Montana-esque background for you. It was funny, I was looking through One Day at a Time to see if there was a reading I wanted to share with you. And instead of a reading, what I wanna share is, and I think this will work, but my background might mess with us, but I opened it up to the very back, the index, to see if there was a pertinent reading. And what I found on the very back page, before there's even any print, was a list of names that my first sponsor told me, my first sponsor pointed out to me that I was coming into the meetings 5 minutes late, leaving 5 minutes early, sitting by the door. Apparently I had the nickname the first year of recovery as the cattle dog because I just kind of scurried in and scurried out and didn't let anybody get too close to me. And Helene invited me to read the 12 traditions at a roundup. And I was so terrified to stand at a podium in front of 300 people and read those. And I almost ran out of the roundup several times, and I was flanked by Kevin and Helene so that I couldn't run. And my sponsor said, why don't you write some names of people that you consider to be in the middle of the herd and start getting to know them a little bit. And I don't know if you can see it, but Kevin and Helene are the top two names on that list that I wrote 12 years ago. So that's my reading that I want to share that is far more heartfelt than anything I could read from the middle of the book right about now. So that's pretty special. Is it odd or is it God, right? So I would love to just follow up those questions that Allison went over and share on them as well. How has working with others helped with boundaries, honesty, and self-care? You know, I'm just going to touch on the self-care piece because, I mean, I've definitely gotten better at boundaries because of Al-Anon. Rigorous honesty has been, I don't think you can do recovery without rigorous honesty, but self-care is, I still, after all these years, that's one of those ones I still bristle with. I still feel like it's such a, it's a dichotomy of self, it's a dichotomy of arrogance and battered self-worth, if you will, because on the one hand, I think that I ought to be able to just be superhuman, sleep deprived, running on caffeine only. You know, I want to believe I'm superhuman, but then I also have these self-worth issues where I don't think I deserve a good night's sleep, or I don't think I deserve to shut down my computer and rest. I don't deserve a healthy meal. I ought to make it on Pringles or Dots pretzels or something. And so, you know, for me, self, the way I've been able to reconcile that is that I am of no use to God and my fellows if I am spiritually bankrupt. I'm snippy and short-tempered and judgmental and irritable, and I'm of no use. And so really self-care isn't selfish at all. It's a way for me to bring my best self to the relationship. And I was definitely taught that through service and through working with a sponsor, because I had that modeled to me by other people. And I began to measure my own, like, wow, I'm really nasty today. Or, wow, I'm really on my game today. What's the difference? Oh, I ate, I slept, I took a walk, I turned my computer off at 10 p.m. whether I had work to do or not. And, you know, it really began to show me that self-care wasn't selfish, that it was really a way to bring my best self to the relationship, and able to model that now for my sponsees. So that's been really helpful. How has listening and sharing helped me learn and grow? The story I want to tell about that, I've found a virtual meeting that I love. I don't even know where it is. Actually, it's not any specific place because it was a virtual meeting before the pandemic. They are just kind of an all over group. And there was 115, usually around 95 to 115 people at it. And when I first came into Al-Anon, there was a man, his name was Stuart. He was old. He wore camouflage and mismatched socks, and he tied his sneakers. He used every other hole of his sneakers and tied his laces around his ankles. And he often referred to as sort of blue collar work. And I, in the first 15 seconds of his first share, was like, I have nothing to learn from this guy. I'm college educated. I am scholarly, and there's nothing that this man is going to be able to offer me. And that's such an example of what I came in with just judgment and righteous indignation, and I couldn't listen, and therefore I couldn't hear what he had to offer. And he's become over the years one of my, you know, spiritual gurus. He's just a remarkable man and knows so much. And so fast forward to this meeting I was referencing, and I was there just Sunday night, and a a person asked a sponsee to chair the meeting for the first time. And he was having all kinds of technical difficulties. He couldn't read the fine print. He maybe even struggled with illiteracy in general. He struggled with some of the bigger words, and I was able, it took him about 25 minutes to open a 1 hour meeting. And I sat there for 25 minutes and I got to measure the fact that I'm not nearly as judgmental. I'm not nearly as impatient. I'm not nearly as much of a perfectionist as I was when I first came into Al-Anon, because I just felt pure joy for this brother in recovery, just putting his imperfect self out there and just giving it a go and giving it a try. And that never would have made any sense to me in the beginning. And it was just, it was really, there's that reading we say, where we say, you know, though you may not like all of us, you'll love us in a very special way, the same way we already love you. And it's just so true that, you know, I may not like someone because of how they vote or what their opinion on climate change is or how they feel about wolves in Yellowstone, but I love people. I love being able to see people bring their authentic selves to these meetings. And sometimes we're spiritual goddesses and sometimes we're train wrecks, but I've learned to love in that unconditional way. And that really has come from listening and sharing and learning and growing. Am I willing to grow through sponsorship? I heard that reading at the end of the meeting that says, help me out here. I'm blanking on it, where it says, we recommend sponsorship. Sponsorship is an important tool of recovery. And I don't know about you guys, but the reading is sponsorship is an important tool of recovery. What my ears heard was having a sponsor is an important tool of recovery. And I dilly-dallied and I didn't get a sponsor right away, but I got a sponsor and I started to do the work, and I definitely grew through sponsorship. And then that fateful day when someone asks you for the first time to be their sponsor and you're so sure you're not ready and you're so sure you have nothing to offer, and you know, suddenly you can't share authentically at a meeting because your sponsee shouldn't know that your own life is still a little bit of a mess, so you gotta always act like you got it all together. And you know, what I really realized is that the reason we say sponsorship is an important tool of recovery is because being a sponsor is such an important tool of recovery. The women I have sponsored would probably tell you they're the beneficiary of the relationship, and they have no idea how much sponsorship has helped me grow. So yes, I am willing to grow through sponsorship, both having a sponsor, but also being a sponsor. I remember this one woman. I had just come out of some pretty significant financial crisis and hardships, and a marriage was ending abruptly, and I had 3 small children, and I hadn't worked in years. And there's that reading that says, our lives, no matter how battered and degraded, will yield hope to share with others. And this woman came in and she was just in the beginning of what I had just survived. And I realized that I was going to be able to be helpful and useful to her because of my experiences. And suddenly I had so little resentment for what I had been through, because I could turn it around and be of service. And it was really meaningful. And I did become her sponsor for a while, and it was a very meaningful relationship. How has offering guidance helped me? I find the message of Al-Anon in so many places now that I have the ears to hear. But this one parenting guru of mine described how, you know, you can't, if you have a wound, I'm going to try to use my if I can use my arm as a visual here. If you have a wound, you can't push right into the middle of it. It's too painful. To see how bad it is, you have to kind of palpate around the edge of it and kind of test the waters that way. And I feel like these group shares, this Al-Anon model is like that. Denial is this God-given survival tactic when the truth is too painful to bear. And yet I can come to these meetings and I can hear someone else share about a challenging relationship with their mom or a marriage challenge or a financial challenge. And all of a sudden this veil of denial begins to lift where, you know, I can face what is in my life because I'm hearing from others what they're experiencing. I can't look right directly at my own stuff, but I can hear it through each of you until it becomes a little less painful and a little more real. And then I can take an honest look at it. And I feel like that in a way is what guidance is. It's not direct advice. I never would want to receive from anyone in these rooms or give in these rooms direct advice, you know, time to get a divorce, time to change your job, time to do this. It's just, here's how I grew along spiritual lines and here's how I was able to begin to see the truth in a more honest light without the veil of denial anymore. And I love these workshops. I'm excited about the questions. I really appreciate you having me. As much as the pandemic and the virtual platform has been challenging, I miss seeing people in person. This is truly the silver lining, is that I feel like my fellowship has already grown leaps and bounds. I see all sorts of folks nodding and smiling when they hear something that rings true for them. And my fellowship has already grown. And I love that. I love that about this virtual atmosphere. So thank you for having me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jill. Let's give her a round of applause with the jazz hands. Woohoo! All right, Kevin is up next. He's from a local guy from Sierra Vista, Arizona, at least this time of year. Go ahead and unmute and share.
Well, hi, everybody. My name is Kevin. And who would have thought a kid from a little town in northeastern Wyoming, population 862, would ever be doing something like this, you know? had I known. But anyway, thank you to the committee for inviting me to speak. And I guess I'm not quite as good a student as talking about sponsorship and steps and doing this and doing that, and you know, and I was, you know, out the door at the end of the meeting and never saw any of that other stuff for a long time. And I mean a long time. So I'm glad to be here tonight. It was the pleasure of being in a home group with Jill in Montana for several years. It was, and sitting in business meetings with her and being able to talk about coffee and babysitting over the years. every business meeting was coffee and babysitting. But what happened for me was that, somewhere along the line, you know, my higher power pushed me to reach out and get a sponsor, which was a big step for me, you know, it just really was. And I have that same sponsor today, and I don't know how long that's been, maybe 15 years, something like that. And I still meet with my sponsor every week. And I have gone through the steps with my sponsor. I've gone through the traditions with my sponsor. And I am going through the concepts of service right now. I'm on concept 11 with my sponsor, you know, working out of Paths to Recovery, out of that book. So, and that's what it feels like I need to do. I do. It's all written work, you know. I got a notebook and I'm writing every week. And my sponsor doesn't say, "Well, how was your week?" You know, this and that. He says, "What have you got written? What do you got written? We don't need to talk about that other stuff, because really, truthfully, what sponsorship has done for me is all that chaos that was happening in my life, the job and the wife and the kids and, you know, everything that was just so right up in front of my face. As I worked through those steps, all that stuff kind of quieted down and settled, not so much into the background, but it just got quiet. All those issues got so much different for me, working with my sponsor. So, you know, all those years, there was a few guys that asked me to sponsor, but truthfully, I didn't know what to do because I had not been sponsored. I had no instructions about how to do that. Today, you know, we got Amazon Recovery, got how Amazon works. I mean, it lays out the stuff like, you know, here's how you do it, blueprint for progress, reaching out, the other workbook, reaching for personal freedom. All those things are right there. And as much as I don't really like to write, that's what I need to do. I need to write, and something organic happens for me in doing that, in writing out my steps, my traditions and concepts. Something organic happens to me. So, like I said, I didn't have a way to sponsor men for a long time until I got a sponsor went through the steps myself. It was almost like gaining a confidence in myself to be able to, that I have something to give, that I got something to give. And I don't have, like Allison said, I'm not a counselor. I'm not a brother. I'm not a friend. I'm your sponsor. And the way that I feel comfortable in doing this is that all I have to do is share my experience. I don't have to make anything up. I don't have to guess. I don't have to Google it or anything. All I got to do is share the experience I have had in Al-Anon, the experience I have had working with my sponsor. And I mean, even up maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I don't know what it was. I just had this glut of sponsees for some reason. what I learned there was boundaries. I had to set some boundaries because it was starting to interfere with my relationship. And anybody that knows who I'm married to knows that I'm gonna hear about that. Sorry, but I need to. I need a reality check on that. So, and so I have something to give. And you know, Al-Anon says we're not supposed to shoot on ourselves, or we don't have to do anything, but you know, being of service to other men, to my home group, to my district, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I am supposed to be being of service to those around me. And in that, I mean, not only sponsorship, but being in business meetings and district meetings, I mean, that has taught me how to get along with other people. Because after all, other people are my problem, right? At least that's what I thought when I came in. They're the ones that are causing the issues. They're the ones that are having all that stuff go on. So today I know that's not true. I've learned through the business meetings about how to play nice with other people. And it's funny because that's exactly what the concepts are all about. is playing nicely with others. That's all it is, you know, over and over again. You know, we don't get in other people's business and let people do their job. And, you know, and I was going to read out of the fourth concept, participation is the key to harmony. There's just some poignant stuff in there about, you know, that's how it needs to happen. I need to be involved. I need to be in the middle to get anything out of this thing, out of this, out of what you call Al-Anon. And ultimately, I think we had a reading the other night out of how Al-Anon works in one of the meetings. This is, you know, this is a spiritual. This is a spiritual, a spiritual home. That was it. This is a spiritual home, and it's a spiritual home for me, and it seems like for other people too. And I find my peace here, and sharing that with other men. Now that's the odd thing. It has been through my whole recovery, is that when I am able to be of service and not being trying to fix somebody, not being able to, or not trying to make their life better or anything. I just had a sponsee call me and his son, he worked for him. He had to fire him because he was stealing money, he was gambling, and, you know, and he's facing a methamphetamine charge for a couple weeks. And I'm just like, yeah, okay, you know, sounds right from what's going on. I didn't feel the need to fix him. We're working through the steps. And that stuff will take care of itself. As long as we continue to work through the steps, at least that's been my experience, is that I'm able to things around me fade into the distance. Things, big problems become not so big. Those kinds of things. So my, you know, I love my sponsor. My sponsor is not my best friend. Or anything like that. But I love my sponsor. When we get off the phone each week, he tells me he loves me. And I reciprocate, which is sometimes hard for me to say that to another man, you know, to be that intimate with another man about those kinds of things. Again, thank you to the committee for inviting me to be here. This is just, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what Al-Anon has taught me to do, show up, you know, and don't take it personally. Thank you.
Right. Okay, though. Whoops, I got the wrong piece of paper in front of me. I've been writing down. I did get, whoops. Okay, I've got, the first question I got was actually for everybody. So, and it was, so we're going to go around number 1, 2, 3, the way, the same order you spoke. Was there ever a time when you had to limit the number of sponsees you took on? Allison, would you care to answer that? Unmute yourself.
That hasn't been my experience right now. I have one sponsee at the moment. I've been working with her for about 2 years. I did have another lady, they sort of overlapped. But that first lady decided, and I think she was very right in doing this and doing the best thing for herself and for her own recovery, she decided that she needed some different deeper like psychological help for some pretty significant childhood trauma that she had. And that was, had not been my experience. So I couldn't really help her with that. So right now I just have one. We speak for an hour each week. And of course I'm always open to her texts or, you know, I loved what it said in the reading about being relaxed and flexible and non-judgmental. So I do make myself available. So, and I also chat with Al Pals every once in a while. You know, they're not necessarily my sponsees, but, you know, it's always good to bounce something off a Al Pal. So that's all I got.
Thanks, Allison. And Jill, where'd you go?
I'm here.
Okay. You moved on my screen.
I don't know how I did that, but I did. You know, that's a great question. And I know that I have heard of people limiting the number of sponsees that they can take. That has not yet been my experience, although I will say it has come close. What I have done, higher power is truly in charge of my sponsorial relationships. And what I have experienced, and when I say I've come close, what I have experienced is that when someone asks me about sponsorship, I typically will meet them for coffee and I will run through kind of my checklist that someone went through with me when I first started looking for a sponsor. And then my next question is, you know, are you in crisis? Are you needing someone who can answer 3 or 4 text messages a day and check in for 15 minutes every morning? Or are you looking for someone an hour a week to work the steps? And it's been really remarkable because I've had in 12 years, I've had as few as 0 sponsees and as many as 7. And right now, I know, I just saw some shock faces on the avatars there. And I can't quite remember how my life was able to handle 7. I don't think I could right now. But that's why I say higher power's in charge, because what I've experienced is that right when someone asks me about sponsorship, I might have someone who's transitioning out of some crisis type situations and ready, finding some manageability to where they're like, you know, I could meet just every other week for an hour and do step work. And, you know, I also have had sponsees. I don't like to just let sponsorship relationships fade. If I haven't heard from someone in a while, you know, if I haven't seen them at meetings in a while, or we have a specific check-in time once a week and I haven't heard from them, you know, before I take on a new sponsee, I will generally check in and say, hey, you know, I've made a commitment to make myself available to people seeking recovery. And I haven't heard from you in a while, but, you know, I offered you a slot. I offered you time and I want to honor that time. And, you know, when faced with that, women will often either double down on their recovery and realize they've, you know, slacked off a little bit, or they'll say, yeah, you know, I think I'm moving on to something else, or I think it's not working for me. And then I clearly know that I have a place for a new sponsee. So I haven't had to actually say, no, I can't sponsor you yet. And I'm very grateful for that, because I know that's a boundary for my own sanity and manageability, and I hope I don't have to. But for now, it's been in the hands of higher power, and I've been really grateful to look at it that way. So thanks for the question.
Thanks, Jill. And Kevin, have you ever had to limit the number of sponsees you took on?
There was one period when I had to check a little bit, you know. You know, today I know that 5 is probably my limit. It's just It's just kind of the way things work out. It's over the years, it's been different because maybe I was working more, my kids were younger, all those kinds of things. And it's so that's, you know, that's one of them things that I get to learn. I get to learn how much, what is, how many is okay or not okay. So, you know, only at one time did I ever have that. You know, you ladies have, there's something, you know, I don't know if there's something, because guys, it's like, you know, you can be on the phone for 3 minutes and it's over. Something, I mean, I just, from what I experienced and seen a lot of, the way you connect is really something. I am so envious of that, the way you're able to do that. And so, you know, sponsees come and go. That's just the way it is. And I'm not chasing anybody down. I'm available if they're there. So, you know, that's kind of it. Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin. Maureen has offered to share a couple of minutes of her experience, strength, and hope on this topic. So take it away, Maureen. And meanwhile, you guys can still send questions to me.
Thanks, Ricky. Yeah, I think the questions that were presented, I think for me, sharing with others and sponsoring others and being a, you know, talking with my sponsor, all those things have helped me grow, and they all have helped me to learn a lot about myself. And like some of the speakers have already shared today, there is always something to learn. You know, I can always learn something from them. And it's so awesome how this program works and how my higher power works, because hearing the shares tonight, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what happened to me today. You know, and I mean today. So I reached out to another member who I hadn't reached out to before. And somebody said something about, you know, being on a pedestal kind of thing, trying to be the perfect sponsor, blah, blah, blah. And I finally realized that I'm trying to do that with the sponsees I had. I did not really want them to know what I was going through at this time. I've shared my past experience, strength, and hope, you know, the good stuff, and sometimes the bad stuff and what I learned from the bad stuff. But I have learned by listening to them that it's okay for me to admit that I am not perfect and to admit that my ego may have gotten in the way here and there. And I think that has also happened to me with my other relationships as well. So the one person's speaker said something about self-care, saying no is self-care. And I have learned that the hard way with my son recently, adult son. And, you know, it's just one word, and it's an answer to a question, and I just don't need to say anymore. So it's really hard for me to just stop talking. The only other thing, let's see, the one question I was going to say. Oh, the boundaries it helped me with is learning to say no too, you know, sharing with other people and listening to them say no. I have agree that the higher power is in charge of sponsees and who comes to me for help and who doesn't or who asks me. I've had many people ask and then fell off the face of the earth and never heard, you know, from them again. And I have other people that call me regularly and some that, like Jill was saying, I believe it was Jill was sharing that, you know, the higher power, or so when somebody goes through a crisis, one of them is in a crisis and the other ones aren't, you know, so one of them needs more attention and more time from me than others. And I think that's important for me to remember too, that it's okay for me to say, I don't have time, sorry, I can't do it. I need time for me and get my things done for myself. So I hope that made sense. It was off the cuff and you get what you get. Thank you for asking.
Thanks, Maureen. Before I get to the next question, I'm going to jump in because we got a lot of time. Before program, I never kept friends. You know, I just erased them because I didn't want to miss them, you know, and things like that. And I was thinking about one other thing. My absolute bestest friend, my BFFFF, is a person that I sponsored. And recently she realized that, well, that was 29 years ago. And one of my other really bestest friends, but only four Fs, not five or six Fs on the BFF scale, is my sponsor. And there's, aside from all that we go through, I've ended up making a couple of really good, deep, you know, building friendships through sponsoring people and being sponsored. So I just wanted to throw that out. Okay, I have a question for Allison, and somewhat of a statement, then a question. I'm perfectly happy just going to meetings, talking to my sponsor, and working the steps. Why do I have to do service?
Have you met Helene?
I'm not going to tell you who asked that.
Great question. Thank you for whoever threw that one my way. I asked myself that question a lot. I would say in the first year that I was in Al-Anon, because I think I confessed to you guys I'm a chronic overcommitter. That meant I filled my life with busy, 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 so that I didn't have to be home and look at the chaos and just horror that was going on in my own house. And I also didn't have to look at myself. You know, I certainly played a part in that chaos and horror. Why service? You know, when I first started working with a sponsor, she encouraged me to do less. So service wasn't something that I, you know, ran to sign up for right away. It was like, okay, I think we need to like remove a few things from the busyness of your life. And like, let's just focus on getting our feet wet in the program. Service will come later. I have learned that service is really important to me. Because like Jill said, it keeps you in the middle of the herd. And one of my sponsors said, if you're in the middle of the herd, you don't get picked off. If you're on the edge, you get picked off by the wolves or coyotes or eagles or whatever. So it has allowed me to be seen and heard, to be known by other people in my group, to open up a little bit, because I also was kind of one of those fringe dwellers, like quick in and out. And when the fellowship would start up after our meetings, I just felt so freaking awkward. I would just like kind of ghost, just, you know, out the side door. I didn't want to hang around for that because I was so uncomfortable in my own skin. That has changed. I would say a lot through doing service. I have been secretary for my group. I have done public outreach at district. I'm now a group representative and I have an area coordinator position. That sounds like a lot. But I had tracks to run on. There has always been somebody right ahead of me who had that position who could take me by the hand, or I say like put me on the back of the tandem bike and say, okay, all you have to do is like drop off pamphlets over here. And you know, gosh, for GR, all I had to do this week was like run the business meeting. You know, I just call on the treasurer to give her report. You know, there's not a ton that I personally am in charge of. It's like, I just show up and play my part. You know, it's really quite simple. It has I would say service, you know, it has kept me in the program. Honestly, there were times, you know, maybe some of you have thought this as well. It's like, do I need this? You know, I'm kind of okay now. It's like, things are all right. I think I got this. I can do it on my own. But getting that personal ask has really kept my butt in the seat. So I'm really grateful for that. Like I said, you know, shout out to Helene. She has been instrumental in getting me into service. There's no way I would have, you know, raised my hand for a district or an area position without having Helene and my sponsors saying like, hey, I think you'd be good at this. I think you could do this. Let me help you. I'll show you. It's really easy. So that was, you know, really kind of the intro for me that kind of got me to show up for the first meeting. And then I was like, oh, okay. Nobody knows what they're doing, you guys. It's okay. Like, we will teach you. It's all right. It, you know, it's always a very friendly room. There's always someone who's done it before that. And I can, it has taught me really how to ask for help, which I had sucked at before I got to Al-Anon. So thanks for the question.
Thanks. Kevin, have you ever needed or taken a break from service?
Well, like I said, you know, when my kids were younger, I scaled things back quite a bit. I mean, I still had my home group. I wasn't quite as involved as I was, you know, but I don't know, probably the last, 18, 20 years, I've tried to stay in the middle, like Allison talked about. And it was funny, I had a sister-in-law that went to the AA World Convention, you know, whenever it was, a few years ago. And she came back and she said, it was all about service. You know, this whole big, you know, 65,000 people were talking about service. And I'm like, I didn't say anything, but it was like, yeah, that's what it's supposed to be about. You know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. The reason I'm doing, first, Al-Anon saved my life. The steps helped me step out of stuff and that, but ultimately I am supposed to be of service to other people. That is what God's will is. It's not about a job. It's not about moving here or there. It's not about a new car, nothing. It's about being of service to someone else. And thankfully, with Al-Anon today, I know what that is. It's not like it used to be where I was trying to talk my girlfriend from killing herself. You know, that's not the kind of service this is. It's totally different. I don't feel like I'm going to be overwhelmed. So, in a long answer to your question. Yeah.
Thanks, Kevin. And Jill, can you tell the story about asking the first person to be your sponsor?
Let me make sure I understand the question correctly. The first person who asked me to sponsor them, or me asking someone?
You asking someone to be your sponsor.
Oh boy. Okay. Kevin will remember when the Saturday morning meeting was downtown Bozeman in the basement of the Christian Community Hall or whatever it was called. And I had said to someone else, probably trying to gossip and triangulate and hope word got to her, but I said to someone, oh, if I were ever going to ask someone to be my sponsor, it would be so-and-so. And, you know, but I just don't know how to ask. And, And we were standing there outside the meeting chatting, and that woman walked up to the two of us and was like, "Hi, what you talking about?" And I was getting the kind of the elbow, like, okay, I guess if you don't think you have a time, now would be the time. So I did ask her and she did say yes, but I would love to just share a little more about that first sponsorial relationship, because it is all in God's hands. And I was so willfully determined to be the most hard-headed sponsee that if I had had one of those sponsors with like to-do lists and marching orders and checklists, I probably would have vanished in the first few months. I had one of those soft, loving, you know, just would let me just vomit on our hour about how terrible my life was and how it was all X, Y, or Z's fault. And she put up with me for a long time. And I really do think that higher power knew I needed just that patience and that nurturance and that gentle hand. And then we faded apart, and I did end up asking someone else to sponsor me, who was more of the the marching orders style. And I mean, my recovery did really take off in that relationship, but I think if I had had that in the very beginning, I wouldn't have stuck around. So to see that my first year was with one sponsor and my 2 through whatever 7 year was with a second sponsor really is telling of what I needed. I got what I needed when I needed it, and it was in the hands of higher power. So that was pretty special. Thanks for the question, whoever asked it.
Thanks, Jill. I've got a really hot question here, and it doesn't say for whom, and I'm not going to say for all. I'm going to let any one of the three of you grab it and go. The reading said to not take things personally. But how do you not take it personally when a sponsee says they have to drop you?
Happens. Well, first of all, you know, Al-Anon teaches me that I'm not supposed to get what I need from other people, right? Where am I supposed to get it? I am supposed to get it from a higher power. I am supposed to have, I mean, early on, obviously I didn't have that, but after I worked the steps and have done some things in Al-Anon, you know, I got to have a higher power, because when other people fail or don't live up to my expectations, you know, I got to have something else. And it's simply a spiritual thing. It's all about a higher power. That's it.
I can jump on that one for a sec too. I did have, like I mentioned earlier, I did have a lady leave me. It was sad. I have to say, like, I did struggle with that. Like, oh no, did I say the wrong thing? Did I do the wrong thing? Like, does she not like me? You know, I went through all of those kinds of feelings. She kind of broke up with me via text, which was fine. It was completely fine. It was the nicest breakup text she could have ever composed. She said, like, you have done me a great mitzvah. You have probably saved my life. And I was just blown away by those words, because I didn't think I had that kind of gift to give anybody, you know. And like I said, it turned out she needed something that was beyond me, that I was not, qualified or, you know, it wasn't my job to provide that for her. She really needed, to work on some serious, family trauma issues. So, Yeah, she and I, you know, we still see each other on social media and like each other's things, and she's a lovely person. I hope that she's getting help that's appropriate, you know. So.
Jill, do you want to tackle this?
I mean, I can completely concur with what Kevin and Allison just shared, but I wanted to share a unique situation I had in a sponsorial, I'll call it a sponsorial exchange. I had a woman ask me to sponsor her because things weren't working with her current sponsor. And one of the things, I mean, I don't know about you guys, all of my relationships prior to Al-Anon were cut and run. It's not working for me. I'm out of here. I was such a runner. And I actually was able to work with her for about a month on the difficulties she was having with her sponsor, to where she was able to communicate without anger and resentment her needs and her expectations. And the two of them had a heartfelt conversation about the relationship not working and the fact that both of them were willing to mend their behavior to make it work, which is really hard, right? Like it's really vulnerable. We're so used to rejection. It's really vulnerable to say, this thing isn't working for me. Would you be willing to show up differently? And have the person say, you matter to me enough that I want to change. You know, your ask isn't outrageous, and it matters enough to me to change and adapt to make this work. And it was really rewarding to have them stay together. Like I didn't end up sponsoring her. She stayed with her sponsor, and that was really incredibly rewarding. So there's no textbook way for how it has to work. It truly is spirit led. So thanks.
Thanks. Well, that leads right into the next question. And this is going to be anyone jump in. Have you ever had to drop a sponsor, and how did you do it? I'm going to call on somebody. Okay, Jill, come on. You're still talking.
All right, I'm going to go because this was crazy. And before I tell this story, is there anyone here who's in like their first 30 days of Al-Anon? We've all seen some stuff. So that loving and gentle sponsor I mentioned that was God-given for the first year that I needed, I called her. She had started to drift from the program herself. And, you know, I knew she didn't have any other sponsees anymore. It didn't sound like she was still meeting her sponsor. I hadn't seen her at a meeting in a while. And I was in a really bad place. And I called her and went to voicemail. And I said, hey, I'm going to go to this meeting. If you could call me back, or I'll call you after the meeting's over. And she called me back. She left me a message. She thought she hung up. And my voicemail continued to record her talking to her husband about me for a period of time. And I'll tell you guys again, this God-given time, this God of timing, it was right at a time when I needed a little more recovery, and I was slightly on the fringe of the program. And I had this moment where I just wanted to throw the whole of Al-Anon away because of that voicemail. And I just realized, like, I just, thank God I had enough recovery under my belt to realize this is one imperfect human being doing the best she can with what she's got. She's drifted away, and this is not the whole of Al-Anon. This is one person, and I'm going to ask this other person to sponsor me now. And that was a really pivotal moment. I almost ran for my life. And instead I asked that other woman to be my sponsor. And interestingly enough, that woman did circle back a few years later, and we're very close and good friends. So happy ending, but you know, good test of recovery. Thanks.
Thanks, Jill. Allison, you want to take that one?
Well, yeah, I think I've alluded to sponsors, plural, so you probably pegged me. My first sponsor, I worked with her for about 3 years, and I think it got to be an issue about our schedules and just kind of a lack of flexibility that came up. At that time, my husband took a job out of town. This was like after the recession. And so, you know, we're just go where the work is. So he took a job out of town, and my sponsor and I had an arrangement where we would meet Sunday mornings. And during that year, I was making frequent trips to, you know, see my husband, or he would come home for a long weekend, or, you know, I wasn't always able to make those Sunday mornings work if we were visiting. And she kind of fired me because of that, which was fine. It was okay. You know, she is somebody who's still in the program. You know, we see each other, and things are fine and cordial. I got a lot from her. I learned a ton. I got what I needed from her in those 3 years. You know, we worked the steps. You know, she got me to stay in the program, you know, and that was just really important to me. She offered to, you know, help me transition to a different person as a sponsor. But I kind of took that on myself. I was like, you know, I think I've learned enough. I know what to look for in a sponsor. And I ended up picking somebody who has a long, like many, many years in the program and a long history of service. And so she was the person who kind of got me to the next level, to district and area service. So, like Jill said, like we get what we need from that person at the time, and they are put in our path for a reason. And it leads to like the next great thing. So it all worked out okay.
Thanks, Allison. Kevin, you have a quick response?
Sure. I'm just a loyal puppy. And like I said, I didn't have a sponsor for a long time. I probably didn't have a sponsor longer than I've had one in recovery. I still have the same sponsor from I don't know how many years ago it's been now, maybe 12 years. We've been working together. He's a wonderful man. I hope he doesn't fire me. But anyway, so I don't have that experience really.
Thanks, Kevin. Well, great questions, great answers from everybody. We have only a couple of minutes left, so I'm going to turn the meeting back over to our chairperson, Flo Ann.
Thank you, Ricky. Wow, this was a great meeting. Let's give a round of applause for everybody. Jill, Allison, Kevin, fantastic stuff. Good meeting. All right, let me find out what I'm supposed to say now. So we're going to close with the Al-Anon Declaration. Feel free to unmute and join me. So let it begin with me. When anyone anywhere, without help, the hand of Al-Anon,
always be there, and let it begin with me.
Thank you all. What a